Welcome to the Crunchy Caribbean Podcast. I am your host, Aylin, and today I'm going to be sipping on some lemon tea with a little sprinkle of cayenne powder. I'm going to do that when it cools down. But it's been so much going on. I definitely was not consistent in February. I think I only made like 2 episodes in February, I believe. And it's just been so much. Life, but it's been many changes. I went from not having a car to having a car to back not having a car. Just figuring that out. Then Valentine's Day, like, I was at work, I was chilling. My teeth, they hurt now because I ate some chocolate, and I did more than just eat chocolate. I ate chocolate, like, it was chocolate on top of chocolate. So now my back teeth hurt and I feel old. So, Valentine's passed. The only highlight from Valentine's Day was this girl, she gave her man a rental property and he embarrassed her. And, that's a whole nother thing. Future episode. It was my birthday. My birthday passed. And I'm still recovering from my birthday because my birthday is towards it. And another thing. I mean, I understand, like, I can't control that. But my birthday being at the end of the month, and then having to pay rent the next week. It's just like, so I'm still trying to recover from that. But I went to Afro Soca Love, and they were touring. And the day of my birthday was the day they're having the party. So, of course, I got my tickets way, way in advance. My best friend, her baby shower was the day of my birthday. I couldn't go because car issues. And it's like, what? You had car issues? You couldn't go to your friend's baby shower, but you were able to go to a party. It's called the bus. Marta don't go all the way out to the other side of Georgia, okay? So just put that out there. Anyway, I got cute, you know, have my little blonde wig. The outfit, yeah, you can say vibe, but the outfit I was going for, like, it was really a last minute outfit, and it was giving off 70s vibe with the colorful top and the bell bottoms, and then with the blonde wig and me being a black girl. So, I was out there channeling my inner retro babe, and I didn't even notice till I really looked at myself because I was rushing. I'm always last minute doing stuff. I was sober, though. I was really sober. I only had, like, one drink. Didn't really drink how I want to. But the weather was mad cold. I did bring a jacket because, you know, to cover up. Because the top was, like, one of those tops you tie up and stuff. So, I did bring a jacket for when I'm outside, but I knew that if I were to dress, like, in a sweater dress or something, and then later go to this party, and then it's a soca party, and then dance, I knew I was going to warm up, but I still brought a jacket for when I'm outside. So, holding a jacket all night was not, it was killing my vibe, but had fun overall, you know, did my dancing, and I was like, dang, I do need to go out more, but then it's like, all the planning that went into, like, going out and make sure my daughter's where she needs to be, you know, last minute outfit, make sure I catch up on my sleep, you know, just the whole timing thing, doing my hair, you know, what type of makeup look am I going for, make sure I have everything for the night. It was just a lot. Then there was a change in plans, like, a couple hours before. So, I'm like, whew, I see why I don't really go out like I used to. But, yes. And, like I said, the whole transportation. So now, what we're finna get into in this episode, we're going to be talking about mommy-related things. Being a parent, raising kids, being around kids. You know, even if you don't have kids, you know, this is going to be a good listen, alright? So, first thing I want to talk about is just the whole generation thing. Because from different charts that I looked at, I'm not considered a millennial. Because the cutoff for millennial is 1994, and I was born in 1995. So I'm considered a Gen Z. I'm the oldest Gen Z. But I'm going to still call myself a millennial because I grew up with you know. Anyway, so I've been doing a lot of research about, like, millennial moms and stuff. Because here at the Country Caribbean Podcast, you know, people are curious about what's going on with millennials, what's going on with the youth. So we're going to talk about those things, okay? I'm going to speak on things that you probably have answers to. All right. So having a balance, okay, having a balance, especially when you have a child young, because me, I had my daughter at 18. A lot of my other peers, other millennials, they had their kids in their 20s. Majority of them had their kids in their 20s. I think the oldest millennial is like not even good into their 30s. Or they're not even 40 yet, I believe. Okay. It's so hard keeping up with these times. I gotta remember, it's 2020. Gotta remember. So I'm 25, okay. Finding a balance between still going to work, spending time with your kids, dating, because a lot of us are single, so dating, and then just going out, enjoying your me time, all that stuff. Because a lot of older generations feel as though, like, once you have a kid, that's it. Like, that's it. It's all about the kid and stuff. So with our generation, we're like, hey, yes, it's all about the child, but I also need some me time because I need to also recharge myself. I need also make sure that I'm good, you know, even if that's just like a day or two out the week, or shoot, an hour out the week. It's okay. Self-care, you know. So that's why most stay-at-home moms, and then with the whole stay-at-home mom thing, like me, I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like me, I like to get up and go. I'm not in the house type of person, especially like since a lot of stay-at-home moms are with small children and then small children back-to-back. A lot of them be like, oh, you have it easy. You know, you're in the house all the time. You know, a lot of stay-at-home moms get called lazy, blah, blah, blah. All they do is, you know, all that good stuff. And many stay-at-home moms are like, I'm depressed. It's like, I want to get out the house. Like, it's just baby cleaning, baby cleaning, baby cleaning. And then when my man come home, I'm still baby cleaning. Yeah, he's with the child or whatnot. But it's still like, that's it. That's their day-to-day thing. That's why a lot of those stay-at-home moms, they have the side hustle. That's how many of them fall for those pyramid schemes. Because it's like, you know, make money from home. It gives them something to do, but also it gives them a community, like somebody to talk to, because if you're at home all the time with your child, it's just you and your child. So to able to have this group of people where you can talk to, you can relate to, how you can talk about many things, and that makes me go into the oversharing. All right, because I don't really post pictures of my daughter. I don't really post pictures of my daughter. I barely talk about my daughter. And I do have people questioning how I feel about being a mother. But it's like different people, you know, different strokes, different folks. And I'm part of a percentage of people that don't really share my child. No, I don't think I'm Beyonce. No, I'm not bougie. No, I'm not stuck up. I don't think I'm better than nobody. No, none of that. I'm just not a person that really shares a million pictures of my child. So many people are like the oversharing. You know, what is too much? You know, what is not enough? I mean, if you go on Facebook, it's a lot of women that are like constantly talking about the kid, constantly talking about the kid, constantly sharing pictures of their kid. The only thing I'd be having a problem with is like sharing pictures of your child that are like kind of inappropriate. And I'm not talking about how they dress, even though that does relate, but I'm talking about like just how they're not dressed, basically, you know. I feel as though those are pictures that you print off and you put in the baby album or whatnot. But like I said, different people. One thing I'm not doing, I'm not bashing other moms. Because I'm not trying to bash nobody. I'm not trying to say what's wrong and what's right. Because with the type of moms I'm talking about millennial moms, Gen Z moms. Because yes, Gen Z are having kids. All right. I'm considered Gen Z. So, and also black moms as well. So with the oversharing, it's like, I don't need to, you could block it or whatnot, but it does make me uncomfortable when I do see like a million pictures of a child, and it's just like, okay. Many people do have a problem with oversharing, and then also like when they do share things that are related to, like, you know, just the whole being a parent thing, and it's like, oh, this person should be ashamed that, you know, just trying to parent through the internet. And I don't see no point. So people are like, how is oversharing going to affect the kids? Because a lot of these kids are born and they have these cameras in their faces, and then they grow up and then, you know, they're constantly having cameras in their faces constantly. So like, how does oversharing and like, what is too much? I feel as though talking about your situation, I mean, many people talk about their situation relating to, you know, how they feel about their child's father, how they feel about their family. Yes, people do overshare that a lot. And I do be blocking people like that because it's like, I don't want to scroll down my timeline all the time and all I see you is bashing this person that you, whose baby you chose to keep and chose to give birth to. So it's like, that is oversharing. I mean, I'm constantly preaching therapy, but with like Facebook, if you want sympathy, go to Facebook. If you want people to tell you what you want to hear, go to Facebook. Facebook is not therapy. It's not. Please stop it. Please stop it. Oh my goodness. So let me breeze through this oversharing part real quick. So if you're constantly on your phone, like, of course, like, eventually your child is going to be constantly interested in the phone. And many people brag about their child knowing how to work a phone. Like, phones are kind of easy, though. Like, I could hit up SIRI. I don't want to say it because then my phone's going to go straight to it. But I could hit her up and be like, hey, go to Spotify, play this playlist. And she'll do it. And, you know, once kids start talking, they start learning all that stuff. But, like I said, people, you know, just block it out. At this point, block it out. Because people are going to keep constantly oversharing on the internet, especially if they have a group of people that are constantly like, yes, yes, this is what people need. This is what people need to see. They need to see the real side of this and this and that. You won't catch me doing it, but you know, let these people do what they got to do. Now, also with millennials, a lot of these brands, they're starting to focus that into their marketing. Like, they, when they're in their little lab and they're thinking about their target market, the main thing they're thinking in mind is millennials. That's what they're targeting their stuff towards, is millennials. They're partnering with our favorite brands, our favorite baby brands, and they're like, hey, how about we partner with Johnson & Johnson and we incorporate this neat little tool that'll make it helpful to pump out more things at the same time. So they're keeping millennial moms in their mind when they're discussing, hey, I need my product to sell. That's it. Because a lot of us are becoming parents. So they're keeping us in mind when they're doing their marketing, when they're designing their products. And listen, there are so many articles about how to successfully market your product to millennial mothers. Okay. There's like 3 articles I came across that are talking about that. So, all right, I'm finna list the things. So the number one thing is lead with product functionality to build meaningful connections. So it's like, what does that mean? Marketing physical products that demonstrate one or more of their values. Millennial moms often arrive at the stores with a specific set of buying needs, and when she can pick up a product that not only meets those functional needs, but builds off of social values that she can get behind, such as ethical sourcing and sustainability, she'll be more likely to purchase. Then talk about that product to her friends online and off. Because they know we in these mommy groups trying to figure everything out and whatnot. So they're like, hey, let's design a product that's going to change them a little bit, whether that's a big impact or a small impact. And then you know what we do, it's gonna sell itself. Now there's many articles that talk about, oh, millennials aren't having kids like they used to, and that they prefer the kidless lifestyle. And I would say it's like 50-50 and stuff, because from other articles that I read, it says more of them are becoming moms. And they're changing just the whole dynamic of parenting, being a mom, and how they let their kids express themselves. So back to like marketing towards millennial moms, because my computer literally just gave out on me. So like I said, align your brand with other brands that are well known. It says get specific with long tail keywords. And it's like, huh? What do you mean by long tail keywords? So it says every day online across a mixture of devices and new expecting parents perform twice as many searches as non-parents. It can be assumed that these skills are further honed during late night feedings when the parent has a phone in one hand and a baby in the other. So basically saying when you're marketing your product, dang, it's like every episode turns into like a business episode. But I have this knowledge in my head and I have to get it out. So, and this is also the thing I learned when other stuff. Like, if you have a product, you label it correctly or you label it to words that are most likely going to get searched. So, when somebody searched something like, I haven't had a newborn in like almost 7 years. So, so I'm trying to think, damn. All right, let's say, laundry basket that is portable and that holds odor. So you can use any of those words, or you can, yeah, you can use any of those words and be like, oh, this laundry basket is, it holds odor and it gives off a nice scented fragrance, or it's not going to make your clothes blah 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 blah, you know, just stuff like that. So another thing is practice utility above all. And it's like, what? I'm gonna skip that one. Make room for a millennial dad. So basically designing products that when you're away from your child, that the other parent is able to function, able to use, and does not have to call mom and ask her, hey, how do you work this thing? So those were just some of the key points of like marketing towards millennial moms. Like, because we are, because as everybody gets older, we know we're getting older, we know we're starting to get our shit together. So, and many of us, some of us, do plan on having kids or having more kids. So they're like, hey, you know, our next target market. These are next people coming up. So let's focus our product on this. Yes, there's people who are older that are still having kids. But they're like mostly focused on us right now, especially since many of us are having kids at younger, alarming rates. They're like, hey, let's make it easier for the 19-year-old mom. Let's make it easier for the 22-year-old mom. You know, so she doesn't have to stress too much and figure stuff out. So, dang, I was trying so hard, like, not to sound like I'm bashing nobody, but that gets me into, like, the slut shaming. And it's like, what is slut shaming? There's a million definitions. I feel as though I don't have to explain it. But the slut shaming of moms. As I said earlier, you know, we're trying to have a balance between, me time and mom time. So when I'm not with my child, that's why many people think I don't have have a child. Because when I'm not with my child, I don't really talk about my child. Unless a topic comes up that's related to being a mom. But other than that, I am now 25. So when I'm not with my child, I act like a regular 25-year-old talking about whatever the heck us 25-year-olds talk about. And so with the going out, many people say like, oh, you know, you shouldn't go out too much. It's going to make you look like a bad mom and stuff. But I feel as though as long as your kids are taken care of, you're spending time with your child, what is wrong with going out as long as you're being safe and as long as you're being responsible? So many people think that, and this goes into the cookie cutter type of girl, many people think that once you become a mom, like, you know, you're not you become a mom. Like, that's it. Like, you know, it's hard for you to be sexy. If you do try to be sexy, especially if you're a single mom, if you do try to get cute, you know, dress how you want to dress as a single mom, or if you going, if you're going out on dates and stuff, you get bashed. Like, you dead ass get bashed. Like, how dare you? But you do get bashed. Like, if people feel as though with your mom, you need to follow these certain list of rules. And that's why many people feel as though, like, millennial moms are, like, changing what it's like to be a mom and parenting. Yes, back in the day, you had those moms who were dressed up sexy and stuff. You know, kids were nice and well-groomed. Kids were fed. They were happy. They were running around being kids. But of course, they got dragged. They're like, yo, why are you in high heels and a dress with these two babies? Like, and with us, it's like going out. Like, people literally make you, try to make you feel bad for going out and enjoying yourself. And that you should be dressed from head to toe, covered up. Like, all right, this is how I feel that they want us moms to be. Oh, once you become a mom, you need to cover up. Only person you need to be sexy for is your man. And it's like, oh, if you don't have a man, then you should have done something different. Or, you know, you need to be very secret. Because, of course, you hear stories about these girls and their boyfriends and the kids involved and whatnot. But I want to say it happens. But, you know, it's not all of us. I'm speaking from a single mom point of view. It's not all of us. Yes, I talk to guys. Yes, I go out on dates and stuff. But these dudes don't be around my daughter. They really don't. My guy friends barely be around my daughter. So you really think I'm finna have some dude? I'm like, first of all, it don't even get that far. But, you know, I'm just saying in general, if I do start dating somebody, like, I'm not finna have this person around my child. May as many girls introduce their man to their kid early and stuff, just to see how he's gonna act and stuff. Sometimes they don't have nobody to watch their child, so they have to bring their child on a date with them. Hey, different for different people. So, like I said, you're supposed to be cookie cutter. You're supposed to be covered up. It's all about your child. If you have alone time, it should be to catch up on housework. You should be cooking, cleaning. I cook, I clean for you. This cookie cutter, like, they want you to be a wife. Even if you're a single mom, you still should be carrying yourself as a wife. And it's like, oh my goodness. But with the whole slut shaming, like, don't do it. Like if a mom tries to be sexy, it's just like, oh, she's doing too much. Or why do we have to see it? Like, sis, I want to look cute. Monday through Friday, I am in some sneakers, some sweatpants, and a sweatshirt. If I want to get cute every here and there, beat my face, do my hair up, you know, wear a cute outfit that I've been picturing in my head forever, let me do that. Okay, let me do that. That's it. Just let me do that. Period. Like I said, the pick me lifestyle. I've talked about the whole pick me. And it's like, what is a pick me? A person that wants to get picked. Like, they do everything that a man tells them to do in hopes that they get picked. So, as a mom, you know, many women, like, they want the family thing. Me, yes, I wanted a family thing. It didn't happen. You know, I took my L, but, you know, I learned my lesson. That's what I mean when I take my L. I learned my lesson, and I moved on by my life. So now that I'm older, I'm taking my time when it comes to the whole family thing. You know, you really, it's so much stuff that goes into it that you're like, okay, I can't just go from girlfriend, boyfriend to husband and wife. There's so many things that goes into it. So much stuff you have to learn, so much stuff you have to get into. So many moms, they hold themselves to this set of rules because they want they want the dad, the mom, the baby. They want all of that. Like I said, that's a whole nother topic that I don't even think I have the energy for. But living in Atlanta, being a mom in Atlanta, I'm more comfortable. Because, shoot, just being a black woman in Atlanta, I'm a little bit more comfortable. Because there's other people who look like me that are handling their business, that are doing what they want to do, being happy. Kids are happy. Kids are just, I just love being here type of thing. So, with being a mom, I constantly get told to get a 9-to-5. There's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5. There really isn't. And if I need extra money to get a side hustle. But people fail to realize that it's hard to get into some of these 9-to-5 jobs. It is. Shoot, it's starting to get hard to get into these fast food jobs. It is. Like, for real, for real. But it's like, I don't understand where they come from about the whole stability, you know, being home with your child, you know, tucking your child in the evening times. Because me, I'm, majority of the jobs I've been working for the past couple of years, they've been night jobs, you know, going at 4 o'clock, going at 3 o'clock, you know, going overnight or whatnot, 9-to-5 overnight. That's the closest 9-to-5. So I understand the whole stability. You know, while your child's at school, you're at work. And then when you go off of work, pick up your child, after school activities and whatnot. But it's just so hard. Like, I'm ready for that lifestyle if it have to be. Because, you know, 9-to-5 pays the bills and everything else funds my dreams. But it's just so hard to get into a 9-to-5. Yes, even though I already knew, like, okay, when I get a degree, that does not mean I'm magically get this 9-to-5 with all these benefits and all these, like, I could just flow through the job and I don't have to worry about any stress of not knowing how to do stuff. It's just so much. I have the skills for these jobs. It's just that I don't have the experience. So me, I'm trying to get my foot into the door, but until then I have to work with what I got. And of course, people gonna have their opinion and we're pulling you in a different direction, trying to get you to go. And sure, this is more than just being a mom. This is just being a young adult in general. People pulling you in so many different directions, wanting you to go a certain way, you know, tap into careers. And yes, now that I'm 25, you know, I need to get it together and whatnot. In high school, like, bruh, in high school, we dead ass used to say, by 25, I want to be married, kids, career, own a house, you know, have pets and stuff. I'm 25. All I have is a child. I have a degree. I want to own a house, but it's just, I'm very picky. And then it's like, that's like a long-term thing. When it comes to like long-term decisions, I really, really have to be cautious when I do those. Oh, I put too much cayenne powder in my tea. But like I said, I'm young. Like, I have my child young. So of course, when you have your child as a teenager, people are like, oh my gosh, your life is over. But, or that you're just going to end up having more kids and not really accomplishing anything. And it's like, hey, you know, everybody chooses different paths or whatnot. I do want more kids, but I do want, y'all hear my metal straw hitting this cup. I do want more kids, but there's so much things I want to accomplish before I have more kids. And many girls who done already had, like, more kids and stuff, they're just like, just telling me just to go with the flow and you only live once. But it's like, bruh, these are kids. Like, I have to take care of them, more than one of them, okay? My daughter is 6 years old. You know, she can brush her teeth, rinse her face, get herself dressed and stuff. Then to turn around and start over. And I'm not the type of person that's going to make my daughter take care of her siblings. I'm not. Because I gave birth to them, okay? But I want to say people threaten me, but they do try to, like, put a lot of pressure on me, and I do get overwhelmed easily. And I do have anxiety, so that really messes with me. So I try to keep my distance from people that I feel like they're going to stress me out. And that's another thing. That is another thing with my generation. It's just that we're not tolerating stuff anymore when it comes down to our kids. Because once you go to therapy, once you look back and once you realize about a whole bunch of stuff, you're like, yo, this is messed up. I don't want my child to go through that. I don't want my child to know what the hell that is. I don't want my child to feel how I felt when I was going through those type of things. So the cutting off of toxic family members, cutting off of toxic people in general, and just keeping your child a distance from people that you don't feel as though like they have your child's best interest. Like, people that watch my kids, not my kids, dang. People that watch my daughter are like other family members, mom, dad, stepmom, my brother. I don't really let friends watch my child. It's rare occasion I let my friend. I would take my daughter. I took my daughter to work with me because I'm like, I'm not finna just dump my child on nobody. Because when I give my daughter to other people, I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that you're holding my daughter accountable for her actions. I want to make sure that you're telling my daughter why she can't do X, Y, and Z. You know, I'm making sure you're not just putting hot Cheetos in front of my daughter's face as food. You know, I'm making sure, like, it's just a lot that goes into it. You know, many people, they want to do their own thing. And once you put your foot down and you're like, no, like, you can't. I don't want you to do that. Please don't do that. Please don't go against me. It's just like, oh, then never mind. I don't even know why you said anything in the first place. So the fact that we are changing just how we want people to be around our child, you know, a lot of people are not in our kids' lives. Like, back in the day, how everybody, because this is a thing that came up around Thanksgiving. They're like, many people are not celebrating Thanksgiving or Christmas, just holidays with family in general. That's because it's like, you know, you're older now, and we're like, bruh, I don't like how you act. You know, you're starting to have low tolerance for ignorance, of course, racism, colorism, homophobia, all that stuff. And you're just like, I can't be around this. Like, it's draining me. You know, we care, protecting your energy. And then as a kid, your child is coming up. Your child is fresh. They're brand new. So you don't want nobody to put these negative programs in your child's head at all. Like, you don't want them to implant nothing that's going to mess your child up to where you have to go back and change it. And this person is just do. Now, I seen a tweet the other day, and it was like, how do you talk to your child? Like, how do you communicate with your child? What type of conversations do you have and whatnot? And this guy, he was like, oh, my son had came home from school, and he was like, Dad, I'm failing this class. Dad, I'm failing this class. And he said, I just gave my son a hug. He said, I gave myself a hug. And this guy, he's an older millennial. I think he was born in the 80s. I believe he was born in the 80s. So he's an older millennial. And his kids are becoming teenagers. So a lot of things are different for him because his situation, he grew up without a father. He grew up in the South. He grew up without his father. He grew up in the church. So now that he's older, he's having kids, married, all that stuff, and starting to see just everything changed throughout the years, doing stuff different. And me, I do, like, this goes for the Black community, you know, and any other minorities, you know, Latino, Asian, you know. Older generations are so quick to whoop. They're so quick to whoop. And I don't want to get into the whole whoopings discussion because, you know, that could go on and on and on. But, you know, they're so quick to whoop thinking that, like, you can't beat certain things out of a child. Like, sometimes you dead ass have to talk to them. I mean, many times you do got to pop them fingers. I mean, not pop them fingers. Pop them hands. Pop them feet. You know, pop that leg. But other times, it's just like, talk to them. Like, when my daughter started school, I mean, she's still going through it with school. when she started school, she was just like constantly getting in trouble. Ooh, snap. She was constantly getting in trouble. And I'm like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, what's the problem and stuff? You know, people are so quick to be like, oh, whoop her. And it's like, whooping her is not going to make her act right in school. I need to know what's the real problem, why she's not doing her schoolwork. I want to know why she's not talking to the teachers. I want to know what's going on. So my daughter, her transitioning to elementary school was quick. Like, I want to say, I mean, there was no way to really ease her into elementary school. Like, it was quick. It was just like, hey, Monday, I can't remember what day they start school, but it was just like, it's just throw a week day out there. Monday, getting up at five, 6 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for school, dropping you off at school. And it's like, she was just so getting used to getting up early. And then having to stay awake, no nap time. That's the thing, no nap time. Because kids do be recharged after a nap. So no nap time. And then going from school, then to daycare. And then having to do homework. Then having to do classwork, learn anything. It's just everything was just so new to her. So she was having a hard time adjusting. And it's like, my baby's having a hard time adjusting. I'm not finna whoop her into, no, I'm not finna do that. I'm gonna talk to her. That's one thing you do. You talk to the Pitneys, all right? You talk to the kids. That's it. They just want somebody to talk to. Because my daughter, listen, people come to me who have conversations with my daughter, and it was like, she's so smart. She got a lot to say. You know, she's very curious. She's very, you know, she's very bossy, of course. But she's like, she has a lot to say. And, you know, let her keep saying what she got to say. I'm not finna silence my child at all. Yes, I'm gonna tell her, hey, don't say that. Watch your tone. All that stuff. But she's a talkative person. I was a talkative person when I was in elementary school. I mean, hey. And look, now I don't want to be around nobody and I'm shy. So it's like, I'm not finna let nobody kill my child's vibe at all. No, don't do that. My child's very outgoing and I'm trying to protect that and protect her at all costs because I want her to keep being her all the way until she's into middle school, into high school, into college, if she goes to college, into her career, you know, when she do plan, if she do plan on having kids or do plan on being married, all that stuff. So you can't, like I said, I'm just gonna leave the whooping discussion out of this, but we're talking more to our kids. And many people don't like that. How, I mean, yes, the tone in some of these kids' voices do be wild. But many people are like, you gonna let that child talk to you like that? And it's like, oh, you need to whoop that child. I mean, like I said, little pop on the arm, pop on the hand, pop them legs or whatever, if you have to. I feel as though that's the last resort, if anything. But sitting down and having a conversation and be like, hey, watch how you talk to me. And then it's also how you talk to the kids. Me, I'm very soft spoken. You know, I talk, I ask questions, you know, let them repeat themselves. Like, hey, how does that make you feel? And I understand that many kids right now, you know, they're not in the environment to have somebody that's going to talk to them like that. You know, many people are just passing down what their parents did and whatnot, and they're not liking how some of us are talking to our kids. And it's like, oh, that deserves a whooping. And it's like, my child, she's asking me a question. Like, that doesn't deserve a whooping. Like, just the whole talking back. Oh, people don't like that talking back. Now, I do correct my daughter if she does try to talk back while I'm talking. I'm like, hey, let me finish what I got to say. Then you need to say what you got to say. All right? But people don't like, people feel as though, like, kids should just do whatever adults say. And that's a no. No, because that's how many kids get in trouble, or that's how many kids end up being traumatized if they're doing what an adult says, because not every adult says the same thing. I'm not gonna go into that. Changing the subject. And then also, like, at different ages, you gotta learn how to talk to them at different ages. Kids are starting to be exposed to stuff more, and kind of younger. They're starting to be exposed to stuff more, so it's good to start talking to them now, having that, damn, what's this shit called? it's not coming to my head right now. But having that open door, I guess open door policy, whatnot, to where your child can come to you and talk to you about something. Because you'd rather your kid come to talk to you than go to a stranger and have these motherfuckers saying the wrong shit. Of course, calling out wrong things, changing how our parents parent. And with the whole D-Wade situation, him and his child, and just how people are just, like, attacking him. And it's just like, bruh. Listen, I'm not finna go into the whole LGBT about that and whatnot. But, like I said, I don't see... All right, because people are saying, because the child is 12. It's like, oh, the child is too young to be trying to make decisions and whatnot. And this is what this generation problem is. They're too open with their... They're giving your child too much freedom. And it's like... Well, look what happens when you don't give kids no freedom. You don't set that. Damn, why do I keep forgetting the damn word? But look what happens when you don't give them freedom, when you don't let them express themselves. A lot of people are out here miserable. And when they do, it's so many people who started expressing themselves once they got to high school, once they got to college, once they got into an adult. So it's like, you might as well let kids come into who they are. But talk to them about the importance of making permanent, you know, not, yes, people are like, oh my God, permanent decision. But talk to your child about, hey, take your time. Just take your time. You can express yourself, but just take your time. Because you might, how you feel right now, you might not feel, because, you know, we change every 5 years. And then as a child, of course, you're constantly changing like every damn year. So just let them express themselves or whatnot. I don't see no point of being hateful, kicking your child out, because then that's gonna mess the kid's head up. And that's what we're not gonna raise another generation of kids with messed up heads and stuff. And then, I mean, therapy is always there. But I'm just saying, in general, like, taking the steps to make sure that they are straight, so they don't have to constantly, like, take it out on other people, not know how to express themselves and stuff. No, like, I'd rather let my child express herself than constantly saying, don't do this, don't do that, because that's gonna mess them up. There's two things I'm gonna end this with, all right? So just the mindset. I'm not bashing nobody's parenting. I'm not bashing nobody how they choose to express themselves as a parent. I'm not doing none of that. I'm constantly put it out there. I'm trying to stay on code. But just the whole mindset thing. Many people have the old school mindset. Many people have the new school mindset. Me, I have a blend of old school and new school. You know, certain things. You know, child. You know, just a child not being an adult conversations. And my child dressing like a child and not doing certain things. I have that old school mindset. But my new school mindset, you know, talking to my child, letting her express herself, you know, not so quick to talk down to her, watching how I talk to her, making sure she watch how she talks to people. Just trying to, I wouldn't say trying to get other people to understand this, but just approach, just having this mind that, hey, other people are not going to like how you parent, and that many people are going to be stuck in that old school, their old school ways, you know, saying a child talks white, or, you know, say, oh, don't do that, boys don't do that, girls don't do that, you know, just shit like that. People still gonna have that mindset. So I have to learn how to approach things different, and I help my peers approach stuff different. You know, we don't bash each other, we don't drag each other, we don't throw shade. We say, hey, that's wrong, this is how you're supposed to say it and stuff. So this one thing I want to end with is the Black family structure. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about this status that keeps running around, where it's like dudes are talking about how gay men, how the LGBT is ruining the Black family structure, but they ain't married to none of their baby mamas, okay? So the Black family structure, many people talk about it, like what's going to happen to it. You know, it's like over 70% of African American children are born out of wedlock. Many men are not in the homes. And people were dragging Lonnie Love because she said that not many black men value legacy. And everybody was dragging her. But then the baby situation came out and he had got back with his baby mama, but had a whole nother baby on the way, but didn't tell her shit till the girl got a little bit bigger. So it's like, hey. And people come to me like, oh, it's been happening for generations, been happening for generations, been happening for years, been happening for years. But that does not make it normal. Okay? Kids need their father. And all this drama. Yes, people change. Yes, people change. But the black family structure is always going to be there. Listen, black people are still around, all right? You had black families back in the day, and you had families who didn't have the father in the home, or you had families where the father was in and out of multiple homes. If that happened back in the 1900s, it's going to happen in the 2000s, it's going to happen in the 3000s, okay? So I think most people focus on the negative a lot. So, of course, it's going to be talked about because negativity gets you clout. So, and then, I'm going to save that for a YouTube video about, like, interracial dating and stuff. Because people were interracial dating back in the day, and there's still brown-skinned, dark-skinned people walking around. So, you know, interracial dating is not ruining the black family. It's not, because I still see dark-skinned children, brown-skinned children with two black parents walking around. So, but I'm going to get deeper into that in a YouTube video, which is the Country Caribbean YouTube. But thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean podcast. I have been your host, A-Lynn. I know I was probably all over the place, but everything ties back into each other, okay? So you can follow me on Instagram at the Country Caribbean. You can follow me on Facebook at the Country Caribbean podcast. I will be posting more business related stuff on my Facebook because, like I said, I haven't found anything related to my degree yet, so I'm just going to be just putting stuff out there from what I've learned. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I think it's underscore A-L-Y-N-N-B. Follow me on Twitter. That's where a lot of discussions go down. And thank you for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, share. If you liked it, give me some feedback. If you didn't like it, sorry to hear that. You know, the DMs are open. Just listen. It sucks. Just actually have an actual reason, okay? Thank you, and I will see you next week.